Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2009 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Wednesday evening, December the 30th, 2009. Carl Fox is the speaker of the evening, teaching on God Will Make a Way. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
You know what? Your imagination, you could write a book with the thoughts, but you just flatten them out. You don't receive them. Don't receive them. And so they took me to the back of a hospital. Well, I read how they tortured you in hospitals. But I wouldn't let my mind go there, you know. They'd take me up a freight elevator. Interesting, huh? They take me to the ninth floor. It opens, and they push me out, and all there is storage up there. And there's an aisle about this wide in the boxes, and they keep pushing me back. They open this door and push me in. But I just kept my focus on Jesus Christ. I had to. Because I didn't know what was going to go on, and I needed to hear from him, you know. And I looked, and there was a man laying in bed. He was comatose, near dead, gray. And I pulled out my gun and shot him. Just my gun. You can't get in and out of these countries with a gun. I just want to see if you're paying attention. See, God even calls rascals. But anyway, and I went like this, and they go, da, da. I knew that meant yes, yes. I figured that out. And so I anointed the man. I prayed in English. Nobody understood, but the man came out of his coma and jumped up. He grabbed me like this and spun me around. And it turned out he was the Secretary of State of Romania. And they had him hidden because of the communists, because they were trying to get reelected, because they were working on getting a permanent government. And anyway, John was a very key figure, big hero, strong Baptist boy, a minister, in fact. Spent a lot of years tortured in prison and everything else for being a Christian. But when John got healed, everybody loved Carl. Now they love Carl, see. But see, I made a lot of mistakes, but God made a way. You know, and on the way home, they stop, and the power went off. So we had to walk up 13 flights of stairs, hot, steamy. And we get up there, and we go in this room, and it stinks. It's rotting flesh. And it was not pleasant at all. They don't have cross ventilation. They call them flats, but you don't have some on each side of the hall, you know, so you don't get cross ventilation. And so I'm in there, and there was a storm, and they brought me this woman, and I knew what was thinking. It was her. And she had a rag tied around her neck and just around here. And I looked when the lightning flashed, a long flash of lightning, and her heart was just black, hard, and it was dead. And so I anointed her. I believe in this, folks. It says in the Bible, do it. I believe it, okay? It says if the elders anoint you with oil, if committed any sin, it shall be forgiven. One of the things that gets us in trouble is sin, right? You ever sin around here? Huh? Amen? This removes it, see? So I anointed her and I prayed for her. And there was another flash of lightning. And I seen her, she had her arm up, and it was normal color. Well, what had happened is she worked in this factory where they were rebuilding train locomotives. And they pushed one into the roundhouse, or whatever they call that. And she didn't move in time, and her arm got caught. And they wanted to cut the arm off, and she wouldn't let them. She said, God, give me that arm, and I'm keeping that arm. Well, I've seen her a few times since, and there's just a little bitty mark. She says, that's so God reminds me never to quit being thankful. But anyway, and then they brought this man out, and they split his leg from right under the knee, clear to here. And they'd split the bone and everything, tortured him in the hospital for being a Christian. They did that, folks. We might get that in our life in this country. And they would put wooden wedges in there to keep it from healing. And I prayed for the man and we left. I didn't get to see what happened. But a few nights, well, no, I guess it was a year or two later, I seen them. And he came in and he shows me his leg, you know. It didn't mean nothing to me. I mean, what's going on with this guy? Yeah. And then, I don't know if he was a hula dancer or what was going on, you know. But anyway, then they reminded me. But all there was just a fine little line there. Totally healed, you know, everything worked. But see, God will make a way. See, we're trying to figure out a way. But God will make a way. And He uses foolish people to get the job done. One of the scriptures I was going to get to, and I won't get a chance to, but was where God uses the foolish of the world to confound the wise. I've had people say, well, how do you define your ministry, Brother Carl? And I says, I'm the foolish sent to confound you wise guys. You know? I mean, see, if you're ashamed of the Lord, He's ashamed of you. If you're afraid people aren't going to get healed, your fear is going to stop us. I don't care what people think. If they don't get healed, it's not my problem. See? That's God's problem. But if I don't pray for them, I got a problem. That's sin. That's rebellion. That's absolutely disobedient. You got all these big words. But that's how many disobedient. I can handle three syllables. But it, just joking around, but the serious thing about it really is if we would obey, we would have no trouble. If we would forgive, we would have no trouble. And one of the hardest people that you'll have to forgive is that face you look at when you're brushing your teeth in the morning. That's the hard one. Because imparted into your mind and heart is all that bad stuff, and the devil keeps reminding you of it. But God took a wild man like me, you know, and I've had the privilege, they use the word church planting. Well, whatever it is, but hundreds and hundreds of churches. You know, when we first reached the gypsy people, there was 500 or 600 people that night all accepted the Lord. And I came back 3 months later and they'd started 60 churches. And that was by the count of my enemies, the Ministerial Association. They said, Brother Carl, that's how I knew it was 60. They said over 60. They said, Brother Carl, you need to do something about these gypsies. They've started over 60 churches and none of them have been to the seminary. I said, you mean the cemetery? I said, this is the work of God. I ain't touching it. I am not touching that. I mean, we got ministers that are reaching people for the Lord. They're still beating their wives. Oh, Brother Carl, how can you? You know what? God told me that they're 180 degrees the wrong direction when they accept the Lord. All right? And He said, that first generation is not going to make it all the way. But He said, I can use them because they love me. Yeah. He says, you just watch what's going to happen the second generation. I was just over there a couple of months ago. And one of the first churches I had the privilege of starting, and John, his son, daughter, and granddaughter were all ministering. See, I mean, if you learn the word and you trust it and you don't look at what it looks like, and it's not all glitzy like the big boys. Okay? But if you just obey God, good things happen. I mean, this was a man that, I mean, he was really the Frito Bandito of the gypsies. But the Lord got a hold of him, and he really changed. John can be so sick he can't hardly stand up, and he'll take his family or anybody will go, and they go out right in the intersection on the edge, set up the zombo, if you know what that instrument is. It's like a little piano keyboard about that big. And it's got pedals down there, and they got these little hammer things. And some guys do it with one. More skilled, they got two. Well, his son-in-law does three. And, I mean, they can just put the symphony orchestra to shame. And they're playing their accordion. They could make, I never really thought much about an accordion until I heard them play it. It was like, that thing talks to you. Violin, you know, they really do restrain their bow. They go over and look at, take the long hairs out of the horse's tail. You know, but they can make music, and they attract people. And this man has started so many churches. God will tell him, go to this village. And away he goes. It used to be, the law was you had to have a permit to street evangelizing. Well, see, they knew it. I'd pay his fines, but he'd get a stack of tickets this high. So I'd get there. One of the things I had to do was pay his tickets, you know. But then one of the things happened. But see, I figured that's work of evangelization, you know, and it was worth paying. But then what happened was we got this really not nice building at all. People have been living in it, just fires burning in it, and smoky, dirty. And we got it, and we were lied to. We put money down on it, and somebody else owned it. You know, but the city finally stepped in, because I said, just act like it's yours until they move you out. And so he did. And anyway, but the city started investigating why in Farantari, I believe, and I'm not saying it quite right, but that's the ghetto. Bucharest is about 3 million people. But that's the gypsy ghetto. And you try to get a cab to take you in there or out of there, and they won't go. They drop you off on the border, you know. But anyway, we stay there. We walk 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But anyway, they investigated because I think it was 21.5% or something like that. There'd been a crime drop. And they're trying to figure out why. And they found out why. It was Brother John. See what they did? They gave him a deed to the church. And they wrote a beautiful newspaper article about him. You know, and this is a guy that everybody spit at. The other gypsy says, how can you work with that man? I said, well, you know, I don't see much difference between his sin and yours. His is forgiven too. But in my eyes, and I'm not taking anything away from you evangelists, but to me, John is the greatest evangelist in the world. Because nothing stops the man. I was with him one time and the people were just really rebelling around and there was some listening. He said, preach, Brother Carl, preach. And, you know, I was waiting for it to duck rocks and stuff. And these two guys were fighting and they had knives. And John just went over there, just went over just like that. And he looked down. He said, God bless you. He took the wrists and he squeezed them, made them drop the knives, and he made them get down on their knees. He led them to the Lord. I mean, that's evangelism. That's evangelism. And you know what? Those two men are still standing today. One of them has a wonderful church. But it's like he told me. He says, they can't shake me up, Brother Carl. You ought to see the man I used to be. No, I says, I like the man I see now. You know? But see, if God can work with him, you know, if God can work and not dump the Apostle Paul, he was a Christian killer. Come on. It's not our perfection that God works with. It's us having a heart that's willing to have obedience. See, I said it, right? But to just be able to obey. Mistakes? When I went into Romania the first time, I made a lot of them. But God made me to where I was invited the next time I came back, and I had it probably somewhere if I didn't throw it away. But you talk about a beautiful artwork, this invitation. And it was to advance to address the parliament, the house, the president, and his cabinet. And probably other Americans have been invited to do that, but I'm probably the only one who said, no, thank you, I don't have time. I didn't have time. But they appreciate it because they see something happen. Now the government's changed. It's really totally communist now. And I haven't heard, uncle-in-law, I guess would be, of one of my key men, sounded like he was going to win the presidential election. And if he does, because he is a Christian. A little flaky, but a Christian. And he does love. You know, he won't go by someone's hungry. He feeds them. He's, you know, and he has compassion. So he won the last election, and they did some finagling and put a communist in. So I haven't heard what happened. I didn't read all the emails, probably in there. But see, it's not our job to go in and change the culture. You know, I've talked to my men that beat their wives, and one of them I told him, come on outside. He's in his 20s. He's what for? I said, I'm going to whip you. I said, one of us is going to walk back in, and one of us will crawl. Because I said, you don't understand anything else. And I says, I'm old enough to be your grandfather, but I'm going to whip you, because it's the only thing you understand. And one of the ministers said, you can't do that. I said, just watch me. Well, you know what? It shocked him, and he quit beating his wife. Because he's arrogant. He says, that's what gypsies always do. I said, gypsies always go to hell, too. Do you want to go to hell? But otherwise, I seldom try to change your culture. Because by reading the Bible, I've seen Apostle Paul didn't do that. See, Christianity changed their culture. They changed from within. You know, and that's what we really need to do. But see, you can't get revelation from God clear on intricate items and deal, you know, problems if you don't know the Bible. Because how are you going to know? It's God that gives you that idea. See? So it's really important that you read the Bible. They aren't going to teach the Bible on television. Teach you a little bit, but not like you sit down, devote a half hour a day, hour a day, even 15 minutes a day, and just study the Bible. You know? And don't read all Gospels, all Old Testament. You better learn the church epistles. And you better learn the book of Acts because it's still being written. The book of Acts, that's how I deal with problems when I'm over there. You know, I'll pray and sit down and read the book of Acts and I'll see, oh, this is what's going on. You know, and it helps me in getting the revelation on how to deal with it. But see, if we will, it's there. God is different. The devil never will tell you the truth and he'll never keep his word, even if it's a lie. But God gave us His Word, and you have it in writing, and you can go to Him and remind Him, but Father, You said, and He'll honor that. You know, and we're stepping into, I believe, a new time, like it or not. But I learned in the Bible that Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't know if He said it to you, but He said it to me because it's in this book with my name on it. I know that, and I'm doing everything I can to learn more on how to not leave Him. Like Howard says, God's going to hide people and protect them. I believe that. He showed it to me in the Bible. But what if you're not listening to the Lord? And He tells you to go. And I'm waiting for something to happen in California. There's a lot of Christian gypsies out there. And they got a word of the Lord that told them, get out. Get out of California. Get out. And they were told the ones that leave quickly will lose nothing. And the ones that wait are going to have suffer some loss. But the ones that wait till the last minute will barely get out saving their lives. I have no idea what's happening. But the prophet that spoke that is a man of God. That was so holy, and they tried to kill him, they tried to poison him and torture him in prison, and everybody was getting born again, including the guards, to where they finally deported him out of Romania, you know, about 8 years before the curtain came down. Because they couldn't even kill a man. And when this man hears the voice of the Lord, and I really got to work things out with him, because he wants me to go back. Because he says, I can pack the crowds. And he says, and you can speak. So, God willing, it sounds like a good combination. I'm waiting for the voice of the Lord on it. But see, God is warning people of stuff already. And if you want to live in denial, you might get out with your life. But I do believe what they said is true. You know, when they legalized, they call it gay marriage, I guess. I don't see it too gay, but, you know, homosexual marriage. That very day, within hours, they had 400 some fires start in the mountains. They had a firestorm like they'd never seen. It took weeks to get them out. And they think they did a clever thing. Because, see, the mind of a fool cannot receive anything that's good. And God said they have a reprobate mind. And those that endorse what they do also have. The reprobate mind means, Romans 1, read it for yourself. A reprobate mind means a mind without logic. So why are you asking why they're making stupid decisions in our state capitals, our county seats, in our country? It's a pretty serious thing, folks. But see, we can't get the church to turn around because the church don't know Christ. Those that call themselves a church, all right? But I believe I'm talking to church here. And I'm encouraging you, learn to get a good relationship with the Lord. Find some believers that you can hang with, even if it's an effort to do it. Study the Word, because sometime we might be told, get out of here. I know it works. I've been in countries where I was told, get out. You know, get out of this area. We were told, get out of Bucharest one time. And I didn't know why, but I told my team, I says, pack up a couple of days worth of clothes. We're going to the train station. Where are we going? I don't know. We're getting out. And we're on the train, and then we found out the Pope was coming in, and that his life had been. See, because between the Greek Orthodox and Russian Orthodox and the Roman Catholic Church, there's a lot of bitter disputes, has been. Well, and then the Lord told me, he said, I had you get out so that you're not blamed. Well, that's neat, because we got on and we bought a ticket all the way to Sibiu, which is it's in the Transylvanian Alps, a beautiful city, and hungry people. You know, so we enjoyed it. We didn't waste any time. But if we'd have been there, who knows what would have happened. I was in India when the Minister of Labor was assassinated years ago. They came in the middle of the night, and they didn't say, excuse me, get up. We were suspects. And they held our passports for hours because they knew we couldn't get anywhere without them. See, we got to learn, and those are easy times, you know. We got to learn to hear what the Lord says. You know, I suggest practicing, driving home tonight. You got a way, you came here. Go a different way, those of you that have come in. Don't always do the same thing. Ask God, how should I go home? Get used to hearing Him while things are going good. Just on little things. Then you'll be used to it so that you won't be dismayed when He says, get out of here. And also, if you're going to sit and wait and have God explain it before you obey Him, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. Because I've learned, He tells me do something, and I don't know why I'm doing it until I start. And He never tells me to finish. Because I'd mess it up. I'd try to improve it or something. You know what I mean? But see, obedience is so important. In fact, it's all, everything. Because Adam and Eve fell by disobedience. I said that big word again. Hey, hallelujah. Lord's healed my tongue. But we have got to recognize that if we obey, even the day that limb tried to wipe you out, I know God warned you. No offense. A couple of years ago, flipped an ATV at 35 miles an hour. So, you know, I'm sure He told me to slow down. But we have mercy. See, and instead of, because see, God didn't do it to you. It says in Proverbs, basically, God created Satan for His pleasure. Because God doesn't take pleasure in punishing us for our rebellion. That's Satan's job. Okay? You know, you're looking at me like it's not true. All right. It says it, Proverbs. I got it written down here, even 16:4. It says, the Lord hath made all things for himself. See, you were made for God. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. See, God made wicked. But who's the father of wickedness? Isn't that amazing? Because God don't want to bring evil on us. And he's doing everything that he can for us to wise up, you know? I believe what we heard last night and the night before is right on. And I'm certainly going to study it more. But the thing about it is, you need to learn to hear the voice of the Lord. You know, I remember when I really got serious about that, I went up the mountains one day, all alone. Well, the Lord's with me. But I found me a scenic spot to sit down, and I said, okay, I'm going to stay here till I hear from you. And I asked him a question, you know, more than yes or no. And I sat there all day long. I ran out of water, and I stayed there. It was dark, and I knew Sheila was going to wonder, where's Carl at? But I stayed there, and he spoke to me. And right away I said, so why did you wait so long? He said, I wanted you to know that you meant what you said. See, he knew, because God knows. But he wanted me to know. Well, I was so excited that, you know, I mean, it was hard to drive down that mountain road because it's just a logging road, you know. Because I was so excited, I wanted to fly home and tell Sheila. But see, if you don't practice the presence of God, because there's an area in your soul that God wants to communicate with you in. All right? And if you don't practice the presence of God and the Lord Jesus in that area, Satan will fill it. He'll fill it with familiar spirits, religious demons, and it will trick you. If you don't study the Word to show yourself approved, there's another scripture that's going to cover it. Unto God, I think Howard covered that scripture. But, see, then you can spot the counterfeit. Because Satan can't really tell the truth. He's a father of liars. He's not father of truth. So it hurts him to tell any truth. And he will never tell you the all truth. If you're sharp, he'll tell you a lot of truth, but he'll put that little stinger in there. He'll put that little burr in that under the saddle so the horse is going to rear. Because he can't tell the truth. So the more truth we know, the more we're set free. But I'll give you some scriptures that you can look up on your own. If you got pencil and paper. I encourage you to read Matthew 11:23-30. I mean, that shows you how simple it is, okay? And so does Luke 24:25-26, and verse 44 and 45. See, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to hear God's word. I think I have proof of that. Okay? See, you know, I was in the Ukraine. The Iron Curtain hadn't been down very long. This underground church just came out. It was one of their first public meetings. And we got the privilege of going there. Well, our clutch cable broke on this old Hungarian Ford we'd picked up to get in there. And anyway, the cable broke. So we were a little late getting there. You know, you take off in second and get it into third because you got no clutch. And so we get there late, and the brother's with me. Should we explain why we're late? No. We can cover that later. Let's get in there. They're waiting to... for us, and so he spoke, and then, and I don't remember what I spoke on, except it was about faith. I kind of get hung up on faith, it seems, but anyway, and how to get prayer answered, and there are some real important keys. I meant to bring a booklet. I got a little booklet that has really helped a lot of people, but I didn't bring any. I'm sorry, forgive me, but anyway. And all of a sudden, the whole church, there's about 60 of them, they're all on their knees. And they're praying out loud. And I didn't know any Russian. And so I got on my knees, you know. And my interpreter got on her knees. And I says, interpret some of these prayers. And she got shocked. She says, "Brother Carl, that old man over there," she says, "yeah, he's praying for our clutch cable." "How does he know?" "That's what he knows, the Lord." And so when we got done, or they got done praying, they got on their feet, you know. And I finished. I had 2 points to cover. I did it. And then people come up for prayer, and I'm praying for them. And the old man waited till the end. He was 87 years old. Big tears running down his face. A weather-beaten face. But a handsome man. Just very strong and masculine yet at 87. And he said in Russian to Valentina, "Ask the man of God if I can hold his Bible. I've never held a Bible." It's the only one I had left. He couldn't understand it anyway, but he just held it and cried and cried and cried. But see, God finds a way. We got Bibles. By the way, see, there was no parts, because when Russia left Ukraine, they even took the manhole covers out of the streets. We stayed in an old officer's barracks, and we had one light bulb, and it was the whole place. Nobody else had one. And I went downstairs, dumb me, and asked him, could I get a brighter light bulb? I'm trying to study. And the guy says, "I'm sorry, sir, you got the only one." They took everything. You know? And they're building their nuclear stuff again, folks. And stupid us have given them all our secrets. And the Chinese are building our smart weapons. You better figure it out that you got only one place to go, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, and you are royal. You are from the kingdom of God. And the devil wants you dead. God wants you alive. Now, which one do you think you should follow? How about being alive? Amen? Well, learn to hear his voice. All right? And if you're having a problem with it, get a hold of somebody and talk to them. You can call me, you know. If you know, I get calls all the time. Since I've been here, I've been called from about 5 or 6 countries. Get a relationship and never get content with it. Try to get it better every day. And get off your stupid pity parties. All right? You send out all your invitations. Nobody shows up except the devil and his buddies. All right? You got problems? You want to buy a plane ticket and come with me? I'll take you to a place where there's problems. Fact is, I'll take you across the Mexican border where they just shoot people for fun. God sent me in there and I walked through a riot. Because when you know him and you have confidence, I just ask him to make me invisible. Walked right through it, took care of business, walked right out. But I, no fool, totally. I had a lot of people praying. I told them what I was going to do. Now, I'm not recommending to go do those things, but you might have to someday. And you want to have a confidence, and you want to have a relationship. You know, you've gotten a lot of deliverance this weekend. Awesome. Totally. Wonderful things have happened. The devil's going to try to steal it. Don't let him. And you haven't arrived. Okay? This is a start towards greater things. Amen. See, every day we have the potential of a greater relationship. You know, I hear people say they're experts on the Word of God. Well, I've been studying for a long time, and I'm firmly convinced the best I'm going to be is a good student. It's as good as it's going to get, okay? Because there's so much life there. But see, you can't have a relationship with God and Jesus Christ if you don't know who they are. And people have said there are all kinds of things, but you got to find out what they say they are. See, what Jesus went through here on earth, he did it as a man. I know there's a lot of doctrines, and some people like to have me shot. My Bible says he was the second Adam. The first Adam failed. The second Adam could have failed. But he loved his father and he was so obedient. He went through all that as a man. He didn't slip into his God side. He took it as a man. He suffered for you and me. So let's get over our pity parties, okay? We'll never have to suffer like he did. He did it for us. And the things that you've all received this week, just let that be a stepping stone to getting of closer residence to the throne room. All right? And that's what it's all about. It's not about, you know, how many times you had to throw something up or, praise God, it come out, okay? But the reason is so that we can serve better. Because Jesus said that if you want to be a leader, you got to learn to serve, and he washed feet. There's only one headship in the body of Christ, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the head, see? And we're put in the body where we can do and serve. But there's nothing that you've done that gives you a right to have anything today. Okay? Even bad stuff. Isn't that great? God forgives, and he's going to reward you for the good things you've done. You know, and every day we need to step out of bed, get in that shower, and take him in there with us. You know, he'll scrub your back. Okay? But seriously, talk to him. Involve yourself in him. You know, we can't afford to be stupid anymore. Ignorant. God can work with ignorant, but he can't work with stupid. I know, I did a lot of that stupid in my life. But he wants us to really have that relationship. You know, Tom shared some heavy stuff about, you know, about sin and destruction. It's real, okay? But I'm just telling you that if we will stay in touch with Jesus Christ, not once a week on Sunday morning, between 10 and 11, 11:15 at the preacher goes too long. But literally, every day, all day long, that's the way. And you know, we have a lot of things going on, but he's with you, okay? He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Father, help each of us in the name of Jesus Christ not to leave or forsake you or your precious son, Jesus. I thank you, Father, for your hand of mercy. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before you. If you agree with me, raise your hand. If you don't, leave it down. But in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you to forgive us. Just forgive us, Father. Forgive us. Erase. There's no stain of sin in the name of Jesus Christ that we can stand before you. You promised us in your word, Father, that you promised us you would forgive us and remember it no more. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly into your throne room and expect to see prayers answered and expect to feel your love again. Help us, Father. Help us. And help us to be wise in our decisions. Help us, Father, not to live in fear of losing. Because everything we got to leave behind anyway. So in the name of Jesus Christ, that we could, but we know that you'll protect and take care of us and our families. And Father, we got everything going for us. And devil, you got everything against you. And in the name of Jesus Christ, I speak a stirring up in every one of our spirits and souls in the name of Jesus Christ and a determination to serve you. And when we fall, to get back up with your help, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. I break the authority of all of our past in the name of Jesus Christ. The good stuff too. All your bragging stuff. Tom talked about trophies. Well, you know, lay your trophies down, you know. Get rid of them. If they're any good, you'll be rewarded for all eternity. And if they're not, thank God they can't come along. But Father, help us. Help us to focus on you. And I break the authority of clergy curses, and a lot of you have them. And, you know, sometimes men of God, or sometimes you wonder what God there, you put your hands down. But if they've spoken curses over you, if you don't go to this church, you go to this or that, all those kind of threats, in the name of Jesus Christ, I break the authority of those words. Just let those words be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And we forgive them, Father. And we ask that you work with them and help them. And forgive us if we've done this in the name of Jesus Christ. And I speak a blessing in the place of where that curse is, to that we could start trusting God again. That our pride can melt like an ice cube in a hot frying pan. In the name of Jesus Christ. That we can be humble to you, Father, and let you raise us up. And I thank you, Father. I thank you for just showing mercy. Mercy. Help us, Father, to be forgiving, to give up our right for revenge. There's people that deserve your wrath. They earned it. But don't be God. Forgive them. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And what a wonderful way. Pray for them to accept Jesus Christ. What a victory for them to be in the kingdom of God. Amen? And you can say, well, they don't deserve it. But you know what? We didn't deserve it either. We got it because of what Jesus done. And we love you, Father. And help us to learn better to love you. And I thank you, God. I thank you for every ungodly soul tie. Every ungodly soul tie to be severed. In the name of Jesus Christ, that they can never be tied back together. Those strings are severed. And I speak into each of our souls, Heavenly Father, that our souls come back, our minds be sound. In the name of Jesus Christ, that there's nobody got an authority to affect us, even from the grave, but that these things are broken. I thank you, Father, for all the marriage covenants that have been broken, that that be severed. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just thank you, Father, that you're a God that forgives, and you don't remember it. And I thank you that anybody that's been married before and have married, that there's no soul ties, there's no effect of abuse of the past to keep these men and women apart in the name of Jesus Christ. Or those of you that are single because of this, I just speak a healing. Just receive it into your hearts in the name of Jesus Christ. From the rejection, the lies, in the name of Jesus Christ, we just speak a healing. Just breathe it in. Holding your breath, and you can't get nothing if you don't breathe. You're going to die. Hallelujah. Just breathe God's goodness in the name of Jesus Christ. Just breathe it in. God is good. God is always good. And He never will fail to be good. And He loves me and you even when we're not good. So, Father, I bind the spirit of pride in the name of Jesus Christ. Pride, you have no authority. You're no good. You're a counterfeit. You're a counterfeit. I break your authority in the name of Jesus Christ. God didn't give us pride and fear. That's all pride is candy-coated fear. Tastes good, and we think we're tough. But I know, I've been down that road. But in the name of Jesus Christ, I just fill that area with the love of God. Just fill us with the love of God. Did you know real men love Jesus? The tough guys, they love Jesus. They're tough, right? Against the devil. The Father, we don't have nothing to hide. We have nothing to be ashamed of. And we are thankful that you give us the courage that in the name of Jesus Christ, we will speak your name, Jesus, before mankind. So that you will speak our names before God in the throne room. So we can have that first name relationship. Because that's one of the ways you build that relationship. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't promote your church. You know, I mean, they might be fine. Sure they are, no doubt. But promote Jesus Christ, all right? Him crucified, Him resurrected. He's seated at the right hand of God. Don't be ashamed to tell people that. Amen? Seriously, I know people don't accept those kind of things. We about got chased off an airplane one time because my wife's got a big mouth. She talks about Jesus to everything and everybody. Praise God, she puts me in shame. There's a lady sitting in a wheelchair waiting to be wheeled on the airplane. She points over and she says, that man's got a healing ministry. Huh? So anyway, she walked on the airplane. They didn't know what to do with us. But those kind of things need to become commonplace. And we all have that same gift. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I stir the gifts up in each and every one of us. And we praise you, Father, And we thank you. We thank you for giving everybody a good night's rest. I thank you that this tomorrow night we could put this year to rest and step into the new year with no fear. Like they say in Romania, nu frica, nu frica. You know, no fear, no fear. We have nothing to fear. The devil wants us to think so. Fox News wants you to think so. CNN, NBC, and all them people. They don't promote Jesus Christ. They get close to it, maybe. See, that's why we need to hear from the Lord. You know, Father, I thank you. I thank you for blessings. And I thank you for prayer tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock. Thank you for the day ahead. And Father, if you give us the grace to be there tomorrow, let us be there together in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And if anybody wants prayer, I'm available. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.